Who does Sean Hannity choose when diversifying his savings with gold and silver? None other than the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner with thousands of 5-star reviews, and they've helped tens of thousands of Americans place over $2 billion in gold and silver. They're Sean Hannity's top choice. And right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. Go to HannityGold.com to learn more. That's HannityGold.com.
Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrna, less lethal pistol launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off.
All right, News Roundup Information Overload Hour, 800-941-SEAN, our number if you want to be a part of the program. So the battle has begun. We had Jim Comer on Hannity last night on the TV show as he investigates the Biden family syndicate, as well as these top secret classified documents now found in 4 separate locations of Biden. But the investigation in the Judiciary Committee, because Comer's oversight with Jim Jordan, these investigations run in tandem because Jim Jordan has the difficult task of investigating whether or not your FBI is politicized and your Department of Justice has been weaponized. The Ohio congressman joins us now. Jim Jordan, sir, how are you? Glad you're with us.
I'm fine, Sean. Good to be with you. Thanks for all you do to get the truth to the American people. We appreciate that.
I'm trying my best. You know, you were vindicated on the Russia hoax. I was vindicated on the Russia hoax. There were many of us vindicated in that, and we didn't get the proper conclusion, but that's not my question. I want to get to the issue now as it relates to the documents. We have 3 standards that we can look at. We can look at the Hillary Clinton standard, which is no prosecutor would ever prosecute, ignoring 33,000 deleted emails, ignoring devices that were beaten with hammers, ignoring missing SIM cards. And then, of course, we have the FBI and parents at school board meetings being investigated as domestic terrorists. And then we have the issue of Donald Trump's raid at Mar-a-Lago. Then we have the issue now of Joe Biden and the Justice Department was invited to go into Biden's homes, 4 separate locations now where documents were found, top secret ones, and they choose not to do so. Why did they invade Mar-a-Lago? Why didn't they invade Hillary's house or Joe Biden's?
Right. No, it's the glaring double standard that the American people see. Yeah, the FBI said, the Justice Department said, well, we considered going along with Biden's lawyers to look at these documents at his home, but decided against it. And again, compared to the raid at President Trump's house 91 days before an election with CNN helicopters and cameras and everything else there. The Clinton one maybe is even better, though, Sean, because I remember we asked Clinton this question during our investigation with Benghazi. We said, you got 60-some thousand emails on your personal computer. We don't want to see the personal ones. This is America. There's a thing called privacy. We respect that. We should honor that. We don't want to see that. But you know what? We don't exactly trust you and Cheryl Mills and the rest of your lawyers to give us everything we're entitled to have and the American people should be able to see. We don't exactly trust that. So why don't we do it this way? Why don't we pick a neutral third party, like a retired federal judge? They'll come in and evaluate it. They'll turn over what we should see, and they'll keep personal stuff for you. And of course, the Clinton team said, no, we don't want to do that. Now contrast that to President Trump. President Trump didn't get to have his lawyers decide on all this. Even though he was working with the Justice Department, he didn't get to decide that. He wasn't extended the neutral position, which is like, let's let someone else come in and do it. It was no. we're going to raid your home. That is what is so obvious, and it's part of this bigger picture of this double standard we see in the Justice Department, the unequal application of the law. That's what has Americans concerned, and that's what we're going to try to focus on the House Judiciary Committee.
Now, you talk about this unequal justice. I've been saying for a long time, we don't have equal justice or equal application of our laws. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Congressman, but didn't the FBI have unfettered access to the very room where the documents were found at Mar-a-Lago? They weren't found in Melania's closet. They were found in the room that the FBI had already been to, the very room that the FBI could have taken documents freely if they wanted them, but they didn't. The same FBI that called and said, would you mind putting a padlock on that room's door, which they
exactly
complied
right
with. So they
exactly
had the access,
right,
didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So the FBI had already been to that location in Mar-a-Lago, and they said, that's not enough. Even though you've done everything, even though we're working with you, we're not going to come raid your entire home. Again, contrast that with President Biden, where the FBI said, we're not even going to go to the one location we already know there are classified documents, that one room in your home. We're not even going to go to there with that one spot, let alone go there with agents and tour the and look at the whole entire premises. So again, glaring difference in how they do it. And then the other thing I think it stands out, Sean, is they tell us they're being transparent. Every time she does a press conference, Karine Jean-Pierre, every time she does a press conference, she's talking about how transparent we're being. Well, remember the timeline. November 2nd, they find classified documents at the Biden Center. December 18th, they find them at in the garage. Oh, I'm sorry. January 9th, they find, the media comes out and says, yes, there were documents found at the Biden Center. And the White House confirms the media report, but doesn't tell us about the documents found December 18th at the residence, even though they already knew it at the time. So how are you being transparent with the American people, let alone the question of you knew about this before the midterm election and said nothing? So this transparency issue that they keep talking about, every time they say it, I'm saying, like, no, you're not being transparent whatsoever with the American people.
See, my timeline is this. The raid in August at Mar-a-Lago, then it was November 2nd when they first learned that documents, top secret classified information, was at the Penn Biden Center. That's 6 days before the election. They chose not to inform the American people. That was a decision. Remember,
sure,
Christopher
was.
Wray and Merrick Garland, they said, we made the call to raid Mar-a-Lago. Then they know that Joe Biden has this problem, but it was 2 weeks after the election when they then appointed a special prosecutor only for Donald Trump, not for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Now, they've since done that. Why didn't they do it at the same time?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Decided to keep information from us. You know, my colleague and friend Matt Gaetz has said in committee, you know, when is the FBI just going to stay out of an election and let the American people decide? Because in 2016, they were spying on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed the story about the Hunter Biden laptop. 2022, they raid President Trump's home 91 days before the election. They know about classified documents at Joe Biden's Penn Center, the Biden Center, and they don't tell us. Maybe just let we, the people, decide who we want to elect and not get involved in every darn election. And now, of course, here we are going into 2024, and they got special counsels on the two candidates, the two likely candidates for president of the United States. So maybe just stay out of it and let the American people pick who they want representing.
So let's go through this a little bit more slowly, and that is the major question that you are asking in the Judiciary Committee and what you're investigating has to do with two fundamental questions. Has the FBI been politicized? Has the DOJ been weaponized? And what specifically are you planning on looking at?
Well, we're going to start with what the whistleblowers have told us. And we broke this news, I think, on your show several months back. But we now have over 24 whistleblowers. It was initially like just over 14, and then the number just keeps growing. So we're going to start with them. Many of these guys have been retaliated against. So many of them, once they come talk to us, they then have their clearance taken from them. Some of them have been suspended. Some have had to resign just because they don't want to deal with it. Another one retired. And, of course, we know about Nicole Parker, who you had on your program. We know about the piece she wrote in Fox News where she said why she left the FBI. She was an accomplished agent. So these are the people we're going to talk to. We think many of them are going to be willing to be deposed and then come forward and tell their story. We already know of some who have. Kyle Serafin has come forward and talked about what he's experienced at the FBI. So we're going to start with those, and then we'll also look at people who've been targeted. I mean, I think of the 25 parents We know of 25 parents who have been targeted by the Justice Department, had the FBI show up at their door simply because they went to a school board meeting and spoke up for their son or daughter, and they were targeted because of this apparatus, this process that Merrick Garland put in place. We want to talk to some of those individuals who've been the targets of what we think is this unequal application of the law and this political motivation at the Justice Department. So that's where we're going to go. And I always say, the first step in stopping this is to get all the truth, all the facts out there for the American people. And that's what we're supposed to do under the Constitution as part of our oversight duties in Congress. And we're going to do it. The fact that we had for the longest time, 14, 15 of these agents who had come forward, now it's up over two dozen who have come and talked to us, talked to Republican staff members on the Judiciary Committee about and told their story.
You may not be able to answer this question. How long did you know about Nicole Parker, who I interviewed on TV?
She wasn't one. She wasn't one that initially come to us that we had talked to, at least on the list that the staff has put together for me to look at. But there are, like I said, there are over two dozen that have been there that we know of, that I've got a briefing on a number of these individuals. And as I've said, many of them that lost their security clearance have been suspended after they come and talk to us. And I always point to, when we first talked about this on your TV show, it was the very next day that the Attorney General then sent out a memo to everyone in the Justice Department about the rules of engagement, if you can say, of the rules for talking to members of Congress.
Oh, no, he sent out a memo reminding them that they're not allowed to talk to Congress. That means members of the House or the Senate. If I'm not mistaken, Congressman, that was the night after you were on my show talking about them.
Sure was. And very next day he does that memorandum, which is a, you know,
I don't know if that's good or bad for you and me that Merrick Garland is watching Hannity every night.
Well, he's probably watching Hannity. There's always some breaking news there.
I don't know if they have such fine intentions to be informed and educated about how corrupt they are. Let me ask you this. You know, you know all about the Church Committee, and Kevin McCarthy has described this as a Church Committee style investigation. Is there a chance that the only solution to all of this is for the FBI to hit the reset button? And if they are ever to achieve their former greatness as the premier law enforcement agency in the world, that there's going to have to be drastic changes and that would keep them out of the political arena?
I do think that we anticipate, after we go through our work and we complete this stuff in this Congress, we do anticipate bringing forward legislative changes that we think need to be made. Here's a simple one that we've talked about and actually offered as an amendment before. When the FBI does an interview of someone, why do they just get to write things down and then that form becomes the basis of whether they decide to prosecute or not? And we know that form was altered in particular with some of the folks they were going after back when they were spying on President Trump's campaign and going to the FISA court, people like Michael Flynn. So why not audio tape that? So we have an actual audio tape of what was said in that, what the question was, what the response was. Why not an audio tape? That seems to be. So maybe someone can tell me why that's a bad idea, but many of our members on the Republican side think that's a good safeguard for liberty, for freedom, and even for the FBI agent. So there's some practical things that are at least in that we're thinking about now, but we want to go through this investigation and find out what legislative solutions and changes that we think merit being brought forward and passed.
Let me switch gears a little bit with you and talk about the Democrats would like us to think and believe that the debt ceiling battle is something that's happening right now because they want to change the narrative in the country. Am I wrong in saying that debt ceiling battle is many months away?
Yeah, we're not going to. There's, you know, quote, extraordinary measures they can do, the Treasury Department can do, and not hit that. So we got months here. But frankly, we should be making the case, and I know you do. We got record spending, record inflation, record debt. So the Democrats just passed a $1.7 trillion monstrosity of a bill. Democrats passed it. We in the House Republicans, we were opposed to it. And now they're telling us, the White House said 3 days ago, we will not negotiate with House Republicans on the debt ceiling. Well, you just passed a huge bill, so you go ahead and you get to spend the money, and then we don't get to do anything to change the structure and how we're going to borrow money and what we're going to spend it on. You got to be kidding me. So that's their attitude, which is so out of touch with reality, where we are fiscally,
so,
where our debt problem is, and then this idea that they passed that, and then somehow we have to just give them more money for a bill they passed and wouldn't work with us on? You got to be kidding me. So, yeah, we're going to fight this thing, and Speaker McCarthy's been clear about that.
quick break. More with Jim Jordan. He's the head of the Appropriations Committee. He will be investigating if your FBI is politicized, your DOJ weaponized, and much more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll continue.
All right, we continue with the head of the Judiciary Committee. Jim Jordan of Ohio is with us. Do you believe that Republicans can put aside their egos and put aside their phones and get in a room and hammer out a strategy that they're going to stick to and everybody's going to stay united on as it relates to the, what they decide is important in the debt ceiling fight?
I do, and I think, frankly, we will probably land on some structural things. Here's an easy example. Oh, you know what? If you're going to borrow more money, saddle the American people with more debt, you at least got to do a budget. You got to show us how you're going to spend that money. After all, you just spent $1.7 trillion on some crazy bill 3.5 weeks ago, so at least do a budget, which they haven't done in the Senate. Senate Democrats never do a budget. So put forward a budget. Here's another one. Instead of getting to September 30th and, oh, we're going to shut down the government if you Republicans don't spend a bunch more money and do what Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer want to do, instead of doing that, let's pass a bill now that says there is no shutdown. If we don't fund the government by September 30th at the end of the fiscal year, you automatically spend at the level we are currently at.
All right. Can you just affirm for me what I know, and I'm telling my audience, that even during the little squabble we had for 4 days, that every single Republican I'm talking to right now is united and there's no hard feelings among anybody?
Nope. And I give the speaker credit. He has placed Republicans on spread them around the conference on good committee assignments, different committee assignments, to get conservatives on other committees that they weren't necessarily on, to get some more moderate members on the committees where conservatives dominated at. We think that's better for unity and, frankly, and most importantly, better for the country. We think it's better. We think we'll get a better work product out of that kind of arrangement and configuration. So I give the speaker a lot of credit. But, yeah, we are focused because we know where the left – I mean, think about it. Earlier this week, the left wanted to get rid of gas stoves. I mean, this is how crazy they are. We better stick together to stop.
Yeah, you're not taking my gas stove. I'm telling you right now. No way in hell am I letting that happen. Anyway, Jim Jordan, Republican, head of the House Judiciary Committee, looking into the FBI and DOJ. We'll be watching closely, Congressman. We'll have you on often. Thank you for your time, as always.
You bet, John. Take care.
All right. Maybe you have those old string blinds. You're going to love motorized shades of blinds.com. And maybe you don't want to spend a lot of your time going to a crowded store and consultations and measurements and all this. No, Blinds.com, they make it simple, 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 and easy. No guesswork, no hassle, no trips to the store. And right now, Blinds.com, and by the way, no store can beat their prices. They are thanking you, their customers, for making them the number one blinds company in the entire world. You've made them number one. And you know what? They want to say thank you. It's a thank you sale they have going on right now. Upgrading your window coverings, minor project, major impact, and they make it simple and affordable. Everyone gets free expert professional design consultation if you want it. If you need help with measuring installation, they got you covered. You're going to love this group at Blinds.com. Over 40,000 five-star reviews. And at Blinds.com, you can rest easy. You have 100% satisfaction guarantee. And if you shop right now, go to Blinds.com. It's their big thank you sale now through January the 24th. Save up to 45% site-wide. 45% off everything when you go to Blinds.com and their big thank you for making them number one sale. 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, 2022 is history. What are you going to do in 2023 to make it better than last year? I have a challenge for you. And that is to resolve to become a better educated American. Look, every year is a new opportunity. I have a great way for you to make the most of this one. Our friends at Hillsdale College now have made their amazing online courses absolutely free for all that wish to learn. So here's my challenge. Take one of their over 30 free courses and expand your mind, your intellect. You can discover the beauty of the Bible and the Genesis story. Study the writings of C.S. Lewis, explore the true meaning of America and Constitution 101. So many more to choose from. Self-paced, you go at your own pace. There's no rush. Every course is free. You have Hillsdale faculty and scholars teaching these classes. You go to the special website we set up, Sean, S-E-A-N-F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Sean for Hillsdale.com. As I said, over 30 courses to choose from. Pick whatever one you like and be a more educated American individual in 2023. That's SeanForHillsdale.com. You won't regret it. Linda, some liberals on the left. So we do this last call thing on Hannity, the TV show, and we run the numbers through this our radio show. And the first week we used callers that we knew just to get it started, to let people know kind of what we're up to. By the way, Velma gave me a, what did she give me? A C something, C minus or C plus something. It was very embarrassing. No. You do remember that I used to have the Hate Hannity hotline. Remember that?
Do I remember? Is that a real question?
Of course you remember.
I ran the damn thing. Yeah, I remember.
Okay. And pretty vicious. As a matter of fact, the majority of calls to the Hate Hannity hotline, we couldn't even salvage because of all the expletives that were in
Listen,
the message.
The tolerant left, man, they never cease to disappoint. I tell you, they just bring all the hate.
So people are saying, oh, these calls are rigged on Hannity, the TV show. You're the one that is in charge of getting the names and handing them over to TV. Now that we're taking, you know, anonymous callers for the most part, we don't know them. I got 2 A++ ratings in a row. Now there are people that are going to be watching Hannity that like Hannity the show. And people think, oh, well, where are the people that hate Hannity? So maybe we should just solicit them. So, and I have no problem putting critics of the show on the air. That's the whole point of it. What do you like about the show? What do you dislike about the show? And then grade me on my performance.
I just want to finesse what you're saying a bit. If you don't mind, just gently, you know, massage that a little. Is that,
you want to correct me, in other words?
You know, I mean, you know, potato, potato, you know, however you want to say it. I think at the end of the day, what we're looking for is a constructive conversation. I'm not interested in hearing about how you're going to murder, mutilate, decapitate, any of the other things you've learned from Kathy Griffin and watching any of the other stupid liberals. I don't want to hear any of that crap. If you disagree with policy or thoughts or ideas and you think there's a constructive way to have a conversation, we are all in. We'd love to have you call in and say, you know, it drives me nuts when you do this. I would give you an F on this, an F on that. You know, I would do it this way, you know, and yada, yada. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for all the Hate Hannity hotline.
You know, what I am thinking of? And by the way, if you do want to be the last call on Hannity, the TV show, you call this number, 800-941-SEAN, between the hours of 3 and 6 Eastern, and one person gets selected. You watch the TV show, tell me what you liked, didn't like, and then you can grade me at the end of it. What would be funny is one night, if you graded me, like, for example,
I think every night I'm grading you at home. So why not let the American public know what I'm thinking?
All right. So did you watch last night's show?
Of course.
Of course. Now, what did you think of the show and what did you like? Maybe what did you not like?
Last night, I thought your hair looked particularly good. That was my favorite part of the show. I think I've come out strong on that.
Oh, stop. You know how long I usually take a shower about 8:40 every night.
Nobody First of all, I would say it's about 8:50. And just so everybody knows, Sean doesn't let anybody do his hair. He doesn't let anybody do his makeup. He does all his own stuff. And Sean's idea of makeup is not the rest of ours. So it's like a 30-second process.
I take NW30. I take this big brush, soft brush. I dip it in the makeup and I go, bah, 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 boom, done. I'm done in less than 40 seconds putting on the makeup.
But you know what I think? No, you know what I thought?
Now, you have to wear makeup on TV or else you look like a ghost. So the makeup just takes away the ghost appearance. And just I have to do it. They make me do it. But I don't have to sit there for an hour like I used to. I used to take, you know, makeup artists want to take their time. I don't want to take my time.
Yeah, but I think, okay, so in all seriousness, I think what you did really well, and not just last night, but over the last couple of days, is talking about, you know, Biden, Chinese money, understanding that, you know, this Delaware home, the visitor logs, you know, some of the things that I think a lot of other shows are not talking about. They're getting wrapped up in, not that the World Economic Forum isn't also important. You've done great work on that. But, you know, obviously, you know, Humpty Dumpty being there. Great. Love that. But I think you've done a really nice job of talking a little bit about, you know, the logs. I would love for you to press more on that. I think that if we find out who's at the house, how often Biden's at the house, you know, and all the things that Psaki and KJP and them saying wherever the president is, he's working, which, you know, I call BS on that. But moving on, you know, I don't think that Biden's
ever
working. But
because now they're claiming just the opposite. Now, that's what makes that comment very, very interesting. For the longest time, the Biden administration was saying, no. This is a working environment at his house. Then we find out that, in fact, while they said it was used for official business, now they're saying it was only for personal business, that he didn't do any work there. So they've contradicted themselves on it. That's why it's a bigger issue today to me.
But I also think, you know, if we look back, right, for example, if we like you were saying, you know, about the $49,000 in rent, right? And just the very odd number of it being $910 and just, you know, who, where in Wilmington, Delaware, is there a property that we're renting for $50,000 a month? Do you know what I'm saying?
Now,
like,
now listen, if it was in Palm Beach, for example, I you know me, I look at real estate constantly just because I like the real estate business. And you know how much like a mansion is goes for in Palm Beach on the ocean? $150 million. You know how much Mar-a-Lago's worth? Oh, my gosh.
I have no idea how much it's worth.
I probably $1 billion.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Insane. You know, that you got insane. This. You got this one big hedge fund guy. I think his name is Ken Griffin.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I know who that is.
So he bought, he walked up to five separate homes on the ocean in Palm Beach, knocked on the door, said, I want to buy your house. And he offered them an obscene amount of money for the five homes. I believe he paid over $500 million. And this is going back a couple of years. He's going to demo all those homes and rebuild a home for himself. And I believe his mother, I read somewhere. But by the way, if it mean, that's going to be a $1 billion property. That's insane. Now, if he was going to rent that home, I would imagine he'd probably get $1 million a month or some insane number, right?
Right, but again, that's...
But Delaware,
that's
you're not getting...
That's oceanfront property in Florida. We're talking about Wilmington, Delaware. You got Rehoboth exactly. Beach. I mean, I'm not saying that's not nice, but it's not Florida by any stretch.
It's not Malibu. It's not Silicon Valley. It's Palm Beach. It's not Delaware. Delaware... And Hunter apparently just lived in his own room and used the kitchen.
You don't need a lot of space to cook and take crack. You know, you need a kitchen to cook it. You need a room to take it in. You know, my man was keeping it very clean and easy, you know.
And you only need one room. You can do the crack and have a hooker in the same room.
You see that? Now you're multitasking. You know, you're thinking outside the box. You know, I got a multi-purpose facility here. You know, this room's for that. This room's for that. And I'm good. One and done.
I'm good. One and done. Back to our original purpose. You don't have to agree with me to get on the disagree with me.
Listen, I never agree with you, and I work here, so this should be, you know, full fledged. You know,
it's not true that you usually do agree with me.
I agree with you a lot.
Not you disagree with me on some things. You go crazy on other things.
First of all, I think crazy is a very strong word. That's an adjective I would not apply to
Ethan,
myself.
I'll let you be the arbiter.
Oh, Ethan's never going to be the arbiter. Are you insane?
I am Switzerland.
100%. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Switzerland. But you know why? Because he doesn't like mommy and daddy to fight.
That's right. Forget about it. He's not getting in that fight.
But you know what? We can have a difference of opinion. And at the end of the day, I'm like, all right, I heard enough of this. Move on. Let's go. And you feel the same with me. I can't convince him. Forget it. He's got his own views.
I think you and I end up in the same spot. How we get there sometimes is a little bit different. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you're choosing a place to go to school. You know, am I going to go to Hillsdale? Am I going to go to Brown? Am I going to go to GW? You know, everybody's got an opinion about where they want to go.
I love all these critics, though. There are people that are critical of me. The funniest thing to me are these people that want to be the super MAGA people. They want to, I'm more MAGA than you're MAGA. I'm a super, super duper MAGA. They're almost like liberals. I hate Trump. No, I double hate Trump. No, I triple hate Trump. I quadruple hate Trump. And it's like they're all trying to outdo each other. If you go back to 2015 and 16, I don't remember these people anywhere to be found, you know, or even during the, you know, Russia hoax. You know, we were the ones that were breaking down that story every night. And so many other conservatives were silent. You know, just like during impeachment, the real quid pro quo. We were the ones focused on that. You know, and then people attack me. You're not supporting Trump enough. Or they said, the New York Times is claiming you don't support Trump or whatever lie they're telling on any given day. It's amazing, you know, the short-sightedness and the circular firing squad mentality that exists amongst conservatives.
But you know what's interesting? I'm going to give you a funny anecdote to think about. The same people who are flipping the script and acting like they were telling a different story 5 years ago are the same people who are online saying, well, you said this and you said that and I can bring it up. For some reason, the ability to recall all the things they said seems to be lost. Nobody can remember anything. But when it comes to tracking down their enemies, they're able to point out every single thing they ever said. They've got their entire lives online. They've got them recorded. They can pull it all up. I'm like, I'm sorry, could you get the mirror out? Because there's literally nobody worse than you. You know, that whole pot kettle thing is lost on these people. And they're so extreme. There's just no conversation.
Oh, you know, there are some people that, I mean, absolutely went bonkers on certain issues. And if I don't go down the same road as them, that's it. Hannity's a sellout. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Why am I?
Yeah, everybody's a sellout unless they thought of it first. Then it's a great idea. Get
no,
over
or if I don't agree with them. You know, I mean, that's another problem they have. I don't agree with them.
Now, so, full circle, if you don't agree with Sean, call in today and be the last call and be able to articulate your disagreement. And we'll put you on TV and it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, Mark is in New York. Mark, how are you? Glad you hung in there. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just wanted to say that something that doesn't get a lot of press is that there's still places that are making COVID patients die completely alone. No family, no visitors, no nothing. I lost my dad about a year and a month ago. And I found him unresponsive. I called an ambulance. I didn't really think I was going to see him after that. Not to sound callous, but he wasn't the healthiest guy on earth. I get to the hospital. They tell me, hey, he's talking. He's alert. I said, that's incredible. Can I see him? They said, no, you can't see him. Along with a few other things, he has COVID. I said, okay, how does this work? They said, when the time comes, if the time comes, we'll give you 15 minutes to say goodbye. And I said, wow, that's a little barbaric in its own right, but okay. I bring him his cell phone. They say, no, you can't see him. He says he wants his iPad. The next day, I bring him his iPad. They say, no, you can't see him. They said, we'll let you know when the time is right. Okay. So on the fourth day, I get a phone call. Come see your dad. Use your 15 minutes. I said, oh, wow. Okay. So I'm driving to the hospital. I'm thinking the speech I'm going to give my father about the man he was, what he meant to me. I get to the hospital. They won't let me up. Security says you can't go up there. It's COVID. I said, I just got a phone call, man. Come on. All right. They let me up. I get up there, and I realize it's over. He's toast. I'm not going to be saying goodbye to my father. He's in a glass cage, no handles, no nothing, no way to get inside, about 20 feet away from me. He can't even see me. And I'm like, what is happening here? I thought you people said I was going to be able to say goodbye to my father. Like, this is unbelievable. The same man that was talking, texting just 2 days earlier, they refused to let me up there. So they said, oh, do you want us to spin the bed so we can see you? And I'm like, of course. I'm like, what is happening right now? This can't be real. So they spin the bed, and I'm trying to make like I love you with my hands. And finally, he sees me, and it's over. He flips out. The machines go berserk. He tries ripping his mask off. He tries getting out of bed and basically just collapses in pain. And that is the last image I have of my father because they refused to let us up there. My brother, we told them he'll need time because he works in New York City. They never even called him. I had to call my brother and say, you're never going to see Dad. Don't even bother thinking about what to say goodbye. And I want to say my father's name was Gary Vitro. He was a good, honest, decent man. And him and the hundreds of thousands of other people deserve better than the government to just put their life out like an old cigarette butt. I love you, Dad, and I hope you forgive me for what happened.
You did. I got to step in here. You're a great son. You did nothing wrong. You fought the good fight to get to see him. They're wrong in their policy. This is just completely outrageous and unacceptable. Just like forcing, you know, mandates on people, the way they have, even young children without any science behind it. You have every right to be disgusted, but you did nothing wrong. And I know it's a tragedy. Your dad, I'm sure, is in a better place. And I just want your heart not to be troubled. You did nothing wrong. You fought to see your father. The bureaucrats wouldn't let you. I admire your fight. And I'm so sorry you lost your dad. It sucks. And it should never be like that ever, ever. I know people, the same thing happened to them. It's horrible. You're in my prayers, my friend. God bless you, Mark. Okay.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We have Senator Ted Cruz, Stephen A. Smith, Stephen Miller tonight, Leslie Marshall, Devin Nunes, Jim Banks. We have former Director of National Intelligence Ratcliffe is going to join us as well. And then, by the way, at 10 Eastern, right after the TV show, if you go to StephenASmithBook.com, I'm going to be interviewing Stephen A. Smith, and he's signing copies of his brand new book, which is phenomenal. That's 10 o'clock Eastern, right after Hannity, the TV show, StephenASmithBook.com. All right, that's all for today. We'll see you tonight, back here tomorrow. Thank you for making the show possible.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.